We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we are back. We said we'd talk a fair amount of Twins baseball in this hour. Sid had a chance to catch up with their pitching coach, Wes Johnson. That's an interesting story. Let's listen in.
You okay?
Oh, I'm good.
After being a college pitching coach, did you ever expect what you're doing now?
Not really. I did expect to come in and just, you know, teach the way I've always been teaching. And these guys have been really open to it. I did expect that, but the success side of it, didn't know.
Go back to when the bosses called you. Were you surprised?
I was a little bit, sure. Yeah, I mean, I was just going about my regular business and back in Arkansas, and was really shocked.
What do you work with these guys? Is it the same things you work in college?
It is. It really is, actually. You know, we work a lot more on pitch design here than I did in college. Meaning, for example, continuing to help Martin with the cutter, and Blake Parker's added a cutter, and some other guys like today with Jose and his changeup. So we work more pitch design here than I did in college, but yeah.
You've had three great pitching starts in a row. Talk about each one.
Oh, goodness. I would start off with Jake Odorizzi. I mean, this guy was really good. He had a phenomenal offseason, and just came in and is really executing his plan. And then you look at what Martin's done last night and how hard he's worked since spring training, since the day he showed up here. And you're starting to see it. He's starting to get real comfortable with his pitch mix. The cutter is really, really playing well for him now. And then, gosh, today, I mean, Jose works hard all the time. I mean, we almost have to get him not to work hard. Hey, take a day off. It's okay. So he's prepared the way he prepares, not only physically but mentally. I could speak to for probably hours, but just really excited that he really commanded his fastball today. And we didn't even have to really go to the breaking ball much, which is unusual for him.
Can you keep this up?
Well, that's the plan, right? Right. Our plan is to keep it up and continue to get better each week. You know, I think the easiest thing is, as I tell these guys, you know, there's always a next level, no matter who you are. And so, yeah, you put together a good week. Now let's put together a couple more good weeks and keep piling those on and on.
What about the bullpen? Are you happy with that?
Seeing a guy walk through, Ryan Harper, can't say enough about, you know, what he's been able to come in and do, really his first year ever in the big leagues. But, yeah, we're very happy. I mean, Taylor Rogers has been phenomenal. Trevor Hildenberger. Obviously, Blake Parker. I mean, I go through them all. Trevor May today coming in, just pumping strikes. Those guys have done really good for us.
Specifically, what do you work with these pitchers?
Oh, gosh, that could be a long answer. Different guys, different things. So, you know, I mean, we could really get into it, but a lot of guys is pitch mix. But then there's other guys. Like, one of the things we've worked on with Blake Parker is some things in his delivery, his stride length, different things of that nature. So it really varies, but it's going to go. Some guys are mechanical. Some guys are more pitch mix.
Okay. This club goes to New York and to Toronto now. Can you keep this up?
Yeah, you know, guys, Toronto – let's start with New York, I guess, first. New York Yeah, I mean, we need to come in and throw strikes. These guys can really hit. And then Toronto obviously took three or four from us at home. So we're going to have to keep it up or they'll get us. I mean, those are two really, really good lineups. So we're going to have to execute pitches. But I feel confident we'll be fine.
How about you, guy? Beating Houston 3 out of 4. Did you expect that?
Well, yeah. You always expect to, you know. I mean, we prepare and and play to win. And so you hope if you go out and put forth your best game that, you come out on the, on the winning side. But with that being said, no, they're a really quality club, and was really, really pleased that we threw the ball well. And, gosh, give our offense a ton of credit. I mean, these guys can really hit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that was Wes Johnson. Oh, it was fun to listen to him. He's got such an interesting story coming out of the college ranks. It's not only being followed locally, that story is being followed nationally. He may be the beginning of a trend. We'll keep an eye on that. Take a break here, come back, talk more sports right after this. You are listening to The Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. I want to correct something I said a couple minutes ago. In terms of texting us, it's been 81807 for years now. I am told there was a change during the week, and that if you want to text us, use the studio number, which I give all the time, 651-989-9226. So try that, although some of you are getting through, so I wonder if you're trying the old one, it's referring you to the new one. But there may be a problem with texting, and we'll make sure that we're on top of that by next week. But we're getting a number of text messages, so it appears to be working one way or another. I will be giving that studio number a little bit later in the show, because it does look like we're going to have at least one segment for your questions. So stay tuned for that. Now, the other half of that interview situation, Sid not only talked to the pitching coach, Wes Johnson, but he talked to the hitting coach, and the Twins hitting is right about the top of Major League Baseball right now, and James Rousen must have something to do with that. Let's listen in.
You want tomorrow morning too, or is this in place of that?
How'd you become a hitting coach?
I was a bad hitter, so I had to work on it. I learned a lot about it because it was hard for me to do as a player. So, just studying it over the years and learning to get better at it.
Who helped you the most doing that?
There were a lot of people. A lot of people throughout my career. Mostly some of the guys in the Yankee organization when I was coming up did a good job of just kind of showing me the way.
How was your experience with the Yankees?
It was good. I learned a lot along the way. I started there as a young coach and learned from a lot of good people how to do things the right way and try to continue to do that throughout my career.
Anybody special you learned a lot from?
I would say probably the guy who taught me the most is Gary Dembo, who's he was actually a hitting coach in the major leagues for the Yankees and some other teams, and now he works with the Florida Marlins in a front office capacity.
How about some of the good Yankee hitters you developed in the minor leagues? How about the right fielder?
Aaron Judge. Yeah. I was fortunate to be around a lot of those kids when they were coming up. Number one, all those guys are really talented. So, to get a chance to work around guys that have that much talent is pretty fun to do. And you're really just kind of guiding them. I think they've been given the God-given ability to hit. And along the way, you're just trying to help them out with little things along the way that may help them get to the big leagues.
Let's talk about this team. They're not a hit. They didn't hit last year like they're hitting now. What's turning them around?
I think there's no better teacher than experience for the guys that were here. The guys that were here have another year of experience under their belt. They had a chance to now see some of the pitching. They've seen these guys. They're more comfortable. They understand what's being asked of them on the daily basis. And the other guys that are some of the newer guys here, they have a really good track record. The C.J. Crones and the Nelson Cruzes, Marwin Gonzalez's, those guys are the world. Jonathan Scope. Have a track record. They know what they're doing up there.
How about Polanco and Rosario, the way they're hitting? Why are they so much better this year?
Those guys prepare as good as anybody. Rudy Hernandez, who's our assistant hitting coach here, they do a very nice job. They work together with Rudy a lot of times and do a lot of drill work and things that they've been working on for the last 2 years. And it's nice to see it now kind of come to fruition and work out for them.
Kepler, is he improved?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, and when you watch Max improve, it's just, I think nothing helps him more than just the experience. He's an aggressive hitter. He's starting to learn who he is on the daily basis and just goes out and keeps it simple for himself.
Okay. He hit the left-handers better last year than this year.
Yeah, I think this year it's kind of a short, we haven't seen quite as many yet. So I think over time we'll be able to tell how that works out. But so far this year, we haven't seen very many left-handers. So I think I'm not really worried about him. I think over time that'll even itself out.
Why is Buxton off to such a better start?
Credit to him. He really worked his tail off this offseason. I think he learned a lot from that past season, and he came in, looking to just dominate right from the start. So it's really nice to see him get off to a good start, and I think he's going to kind of continue going that direction.
How do you try and improve these guys? How do you work with them in the batting cage?
Each guy's a little bit different, Sid. So when you're working with them, you kind of talk about, you work to their strengths, you work to what they do well, and you continue to kind of work along that line. But there's no one recipe for the whole group of guys. You kind of have to treat them all like separate individuals.
You think this club can go a lot farther than last year?
I think this club's mindset has to be to take it one day at a time. I think these guys do a really good job of that and win the day. I mean, go out and win that day. And, you know, so far we've done that more times this year than we haven't. So I think, you know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. You want to stay in the moment, kind of be where your feet are. And as long as these guys stay there, I think, you know, we can possibly do some things this year.
How about Sunday when they hit 5 home runs today?
That's always fun to watch. You know, it's fun when you can go out there and see the hard work pay off and these guys go out there and, you know, stay aggressive and get good pitches. And when they get these good pitches, they're hitting them hard. So right now they're doing everything, you know, that you ask them to do, and it's kind of fun to watch.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. You got it.
Hi, it's James Rawson. He's an interesting guy, as Johnson. I mean, two good additions to the coaching staff, certainly working so far. I talked about text messaging. Somebody got through, and they said, how come you didn't give a Murray's gift certificate to Danielle Robinson? That was my fault. I thanked her and said goodbye. Sid was a little bit distracted at the time. We just talked to her. He said, yeah, of course. So she will, when she gets into work on Tuesday at the Lynx game, she will indeed have a Murray certificate. Thank you for checking us out on that one, but that one's all taken care of. Okay, we will take a quick break here, come back, talk some more sports, and I'm still looking for that right spot to get you involved. I'll give you at least one segment head start on that before we give the phone numbers. You're listening to the Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike. And we are back. We found out about the seventh inning yesterday that we were going to have a final hour of the show today. So we've been trading phone calls and text messages with a couple of potential guests. We do know we have Tim Cheetah lined up. Always fun to talk to Tim Cheetah about umpiring. We're going to do that in about 8 minutes. We may have one or two phone segments, including this one right here. We're prepared to talk to each other. But if there are things on your mind that you want to get involved, this would be a good time to give us a call, 651-989-9226. Call right now, 651-989-9226. We'd be happy to talk to you about anything that might be on your mind. I want to go back to the Twins. You know, when they signed Marwin Gonzalez, I thought that was a really good signing. I knew how much they liked him in Houston. Got off to a tough start, hitting less than 200. I really had no appreciation for what a good defensive player that he turned out to be. First of all, we saw him at third base without Sano. They put him in the outfield. They'd lose little or nothing in the outfield with him out there, Mike.
No, you're right. And in fairness, he kind of replaces Escobar with the trade last year, and Escobar is hitting over 300, so he's doing well for
three
himself.
Three home runs in the last week.
As well, Gonzalez gives you a little bit more bat speed, a little bit more power. You talk to him, he's an athletic, big guy, much bigger guy. And he told me earlier in the year, he said, this weather was wearing me out. I haven't learned how to hit through this weather, and I think that's true for a few guys. But I think as it gets warmer, too, he'll get better in terms of quality at bats and whatnot. But he seems to fit right in, and you can see why they want him. It's amazing because if you look last year at the guys that they signed, you go, okay, they look almost the same in terms of their profile coming in, but these have performed and last year's didn't.
Yeah, there's no comparison. Sid, you started to bring that up in the last segment. We got excited a year ago about the players that the Twins brought in, but compared from last year to this year, the difference is just enormous in the performance. Just, I think, do we have one of our guests? We're going to change direction here and talk golf because Hollis Kavner, who is a very busy man this morning, Hollis is joining us right now. Hollis, obviously, people are interested on who you've got lined up. You've got the 3M coming up. Actually, it's only 2 months away. That's hard to believe. And you've announced some big names so far, and I assume there are more to come.
There's a lot more to come. As a matter of fact, we're here. We run the Wells Fargo Championship in Charlotte, and which is on CBS today. And I've been talking to a lot of guys here, Tony Finau and a bunch of the guys who have already, you know, top players who say they're coming and things like that. So we're going to have a really good, really, really good, strong field. So it's exciting for us. I mean, I think we've got, for a very first year event, usually it takes years to build up a good field, but we're going to come out of the chute with a really strong field.
Sure.
And, you know, with all that and Zach Brown Band and everything else playing out there, it's going to be a great It's going to be the best party of the summer is the way I'm putting it. That's what we're doing. We're not doing just a golf tournament. We're having the biggest outdoor event of the summer. The way we want to have it. So, I'm happy with the players so far we're getting.
All right, Sid.
How about Tiger Woods? Any chance of him getting there?
I actually said, yes, there's a good chance of us getting him, and we got our fingers crossed. But, yeah, I mean, it's we've talked to his people already. We've been in contact with everybody. And we were told that if he plays between the two majors, that we fit the date. So we fit right in the category. So I feel good about it. I mean, that's, you know, we're bated breath. But, yeah, I mean, we're talking to him, and we'd love to have him be there. And you know, it does fit with what he tries to do every year at the events, and when he got, you know, when he plays and with his schedule, because and that's what we're going by. So good luck today, Serge.
Hollis, you're running a tournament right now. Was that tournament delayed twice by rain yesterday?
Oh yeah. We had to evacuate twice yesterday. So it was. It was a very interesting day here in Charlotte, but you know, the thing is, the tournament is so good, and you know, it's been here for 15 years, and actually, it's funny, our field here is a tremendous field, and it's about what the field we've got in Minneapolis already, and you know, Charlotte's one of the best events on tour, so I feel very good about where we're at, and but yeah, we've got a chance of rain again today, and you know, hopefully it holds off and lets us get it, you know, get a champion crown this afternoon, so we can get back to Minnesota.
Hollis, Mike, Max, here. Has Vanelli and them been able to cash in on this? Is it a whole different sell for them locally because it's a PGA event, or is it the same?
No, it's a lot. It's just a whole different event. You know, this is. I mean, the Champions Tour was fabulous. It was a wonderful event. But I can tell you that when you go to the PGA Tour, it's just night and day what you're selling and everything else. And, you know, the buzz about the PGA Tour and everything else is just so much better than it is for the Champions Tour, unfortunately. So the sales are a lot easier. So Vanelli's having a lot easier time this year.
So careful on those bonuses then that you're promising him.
There goes Vanelli's commission.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we got, you know, they've got Tom Vanelli there and Ryan. You know, we've really got some good sales guys. We just hired Lou Nanny, Little Lou.
All right.
Just brought Little Lou Nanny on board as a sales guy. So he's already kicking it. And, you know, his very first day on the job, he sells $250,000 worth.
Wow, that's not a bad start.
That's not a bad start. I told him, I said, you don't think it's like this every day, kid, okay?
Oh, don't tell him that. Tell him that that's the bar now. Hollis, I think Sid's got another question. Sid?
How about the golf course? Is it now in shape for the tournament?
It's, you know, Sid, it's early yet, but we're going to be in great shape. Tom Lehman did such a tremendous job on the redesign of the golf course and everything. I can't tell you how proud I am of Tom and the work that our construction crews did out there. But we've got the golf course. It's going to be great. Some of the players have already checked it out and said, you know, they love it. They think it's going to be a great test for them. It's going to be hard. I mean, we made it easy for the Champions Tour guys and tried to make those scores and everything. You know, but we're going to make it. It's going to be very hard for the regular tour. I mean, we're going to set it up difficult. But I think the golf course is going to hold its own very, very well. And as I said, I'm very, very proud of what Tom's done to help us out there.
Hollis, you may be the busiest guy in golf. I wasn't sure if this was going to work this morning, but you're always so good about giving us a call. We appreciate it.
No, I'm glad to do it. And looking forward to getting back to Minnesota and getting back to work on the 3M. But, you know, this is our sixth event this year already that we ran. So
I don't know how you do it, man.
Well, I'm taking after Sid. You work every day. You do it until you're 95 or 100, and you just keep going. That's my. He's my hero.
I think the 99-year-old has got some parting words for you right here, Sid.
How about Heron and Lehman? Will they play in the tournament? Oh, somebody asked that. What about what's the price? Prices for tickets?
You know, it's
package for single day.
Yeah. Well, first off, It's $45 for a single day ticket and stuff, but we've got all kinds of prices and stuff, different prices for, you know, concerts and things like that. But you know, we're letting kids in free and everything else, as always do. you know, we're one of the few events that allows the kids to come to their events free. You know, no disrespect to any other teams, but none of the sports teams in town do that but us. And so we want it to where the families can come out and sit. And, you know, yeah, is it a big-time PGA Tour event? Yeah. But it's also it's going to be affordable enough that families can be a part of it. Kids coming out there, you know, it we make it easy for them. So, and about Lehman and Heron, Sid, neither one are exempt for the tournament to play in it. But I'm giving both the sponsor exemption to play this year because, you know, they're the two greatest players ever come out of Minnesota by far, and two great guys, and I want to see them play in the inaugural event in the Twin Cities. I think it'd be important and it'd be fun for them to be able to be there and play and be a part of, you know, of the kickoff.
So Hollis, there you are with breaking news, Sid.
Hollis Kavner, for being on this show, will get your certificates to merge the best steak in town. Looking forward to seeing you personally. Haven't seen you in a long time.
I look forward to it, Sid. And you take care of yourself, and I'll see you here in a few, you know, couple of months. You better be out there, okay?
You'll be there. Hollis, thanks so much. Keep that rain away. Right. Get the tournament in
all
today.
Right. All right. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hollis Kavner, back with more after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome back, Sports Huddle. Mike Max, Dave Mona, Sid Hartman joining us now. Retired American League umpire, and Major League Baseball umpire, Tim Cheadox, umpire extraordinaire. And Tim, I got to tell you, I was thinking about you this week, and we watched the Twins play Houston four games. Three of them were played in less than 3 hours. What do you, you know, we've talked a lot about time and trying to keep it entertaining for fans. Is that pitching driven, cold weather driven, umpire driven? Who can control that the most?
The guy on the mound controls pretty much everything in the length and the pace of a baseball game. It's always been like that, and I don't ever see it changing.
If you're an umpire, can you if they get into a rhythm like that, can you keep things going at all? Is there anything you can do keeping batters in, et cetera? Because it was sure fun to watch when they get like that.
Well, yeah, you know, you just kind of pick up that same flow, that same tempo yourself.
Sure.
You really can't force the guy in there, you know, hitters will respond naturally to a guy that works quickly. And if the pitcher gets the ball and he's ready to go, you know, now you're putting pressure on that hitter to hit at your pace, which is what you want. I'm surprised more pitchers don't do it, but that series in Houston was kind of an exception because you saw pretty good pitching three out of the four games. Actually, four out of the four games, except for the one blowout.
Yeah.
But Houston pitched well that day.
Hey, Tim, I got a question for you. You argue ball strike, automatic ejection, but there seems to be a fine line, and I think the Twins manager, new manager in his first year, is trying to find out where that line is, and that is, when can you ask for an opinion check with the first or third base umpire?
The rules state that if the plate umpire calls rules a ball, and the defense requests an appeal, you are obligated to. You have to, by rule, ask for help if you call it a ball. If you call it yourself a swinging strike, it doesn't go the other way. It's a final decision by the plate umpire. And when you call that as a plate umpire, you really, really need to be sure. But what you see in today's game, I think it's a little bit of an issue that the player's argument isn't necessarily that they didn't go as much as it is, why didn't you ask?
Mm-hmm.
And umpires, just by nature, you know, you like to call your own stuff. You want to call your own game, and that's been that way. I will say this. I guarantee you, if the Players Association makes enough noise about this and requires the rule to be changed, it'll change.
Mm.
They'll decide that they have to go either way, that you can reverse a strike call by the plate umpire as well as reverse a ball call. I think that's coming in the not-too-distant future. I think there's a groundswell out there of players complaining. And nowadays, when you complain, it's not just in this morning's paper. It's on social media. It's on all the websites and everything else. And the next thing you know, everybody thinks there's a problem. And once they start thinking that way, then things usually change.
How about different umpires calling balls and strikes. Is there a lot of difference in some umpires, the way that you call them?
You know, in today's game, not so much. I would say 15 years ago, you could easily spot a disparity from night to night as to who was calling balls and strikes. But in today's game, the umpires are all evaluated on the same electronic analytic system. For example, if I had home plate last night, by 10 o'clock this morning, I would have the results of my game on the umpire's website, which I'm obligated to log into and check the electronic system said what my performance was. So, you know, the old saying, you don't have poetic license back there to say what the old line was, that's my strike zone. Well, there's no such thing as my strike zone anymore. You know, it's the strike zone, and if you're out there and you're being a little bit too creative, I can assure you that you're going to get reined in by the commissioner's office, and you're not going to be umpiring in October.
You know, along the lines of what Dave was asking about before, Rocco Baldelli, a first-year manager like that, what do you notice about a first-year manager? What do they need to know about their relationship with umpires? Or what's the learning curve? What do umpires want, and what do you watch for out of a first-year manager?
Well, the first thing they really have to learn is they have to learn to put their spikes away and that they're not playing anymore.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, you know, you have to set an example of behavior for your team. And what they're gonna climb on board, or, you know, they're gonna follow suit as to how you react to certain things. Rocco, I knew him as a player, and he, as I watch him manage, his personality is completely the same as it was as he was a player. He was not a complainer. He was more concerned about what his duties were and taking care of what he could take care of, and didn't worry about what the umpires were doing. And just watching him, I see the same thing. And if you watch this team, they don't complain much. You know, of course, they haven't had a lot to complain about so far.
But
if they get in a 4 or 5 game skid, that could change briefly. But I don't see him changing his personality. I think he's very comfortable in his own skin. I think he feels good about what he's doing and how he's doing it. I think he trusts his coaching staff. I think the players are really buying into it. I don't think he has any magic formula going on over there, but he's just a very credible guy. And I'll bet he's a real good communicator one-on-one.
Tim, I always wanted to ask you this. All your time in the game, you encountered a whole lot of managers. Were there some that were more creative than others? It's been a while since I've seen an umpire break out laughing, but over the years when I covered the game, there were some managers who had the ability to make a point, but they could do it in a way that obviously didn't really irritate the umpire. From time to time, you could actually see a smile or a grin emerging out of it and say, geez, I wish I knew what he's saying right now.
Yeah, you know, the last one of that generation, I'd have to say, is Buck Showalter.
Yep.
Bucky was, he and I, we'd go back to the Southern League together when he was still playing, and I was managing, or I was umpiring in Double A, and Buck's a smart guy, and he could say something to you that, you know, if you really broke it down, kind of cut you right to the bone, but it wasn't profanity laced, or it wasn't loud. And all of a sudden he's back in the dugout, and you realize what he just said to you was maybe grounds for ejection if you'd have been able to pick it up fast enough. He kind of hit and ran you. I always say, well, I'm not going to walk over two pitches later and tell him he's ejected from something.
I've thought about that. Now you're out of the game.
Yeah. Guess what? You're not going to believe it. I finally figured out what you said. He was very good at it. Bobby Cox was actually in his own way very, as was Tom Kelly. And it's kind of funny because Tom Kelly and Bobby Cox actually kind of had the same philosophy, but they went about it completely opposite directions. TK's philosophy always was that he felt that his team had a better chance to win the game if he stayed in the game. He didn't see any advantage to getting ejected whatsoever. And he also just told his players, just stay away from the umpires. It doesn't do you any good, and all it does is, you know, get you off your track, and we don't want that. Now, Bobby Cox was kind of the same way in that his philosophy with his players was he does not want to lose a player to ejection. So he told his players, leave the umpires alone. I will take care of it. And, you know, if you had Maddox or Glavin or Smoltz or one, like, all they had to do was throw a couple close pitches and you call them balls, and they would look in the dugout at Bobby, and that's all it took. You know, Bobby'd start tripping on pitches, and eventually you'd tell him to be quiet, and he'd just keep going, and then you just ejected him. And I remember one night, and it was never personal with Bobby. In fact, one night I ejected him, and the game went, I ejected him like the fifth inning, and the game went like 12, and in the 11th inning I had to go into the dugout to use the facilities, and there he was down behind the, you know, behind the dugout.
Oh, whoops.
And he's sitting there in his t-shirt with a cigar in his mouth, and he's watching the game on this, you know, 50-inch TV screen. And I come by, and he goes, "Hey, Timmy, you're doing a great job tonight. You know, keep it up." The heck are you talking about? I just jerked you 3 hours ago over balls and strikes. Now you're telling me how good I am. But that's the way he was, you know. And even after, you know, if you'd eject him, you saw him walking out of the ballpark, he always said, "Hey, nice job tonight. You guys did great." You know, and that's just the way he was. And that's, you know, sometimes these guys today, they're so serious all the time, and they're wrapped up so much in all this analytics and statistics and everything that they forget to enjoy it. And I watch the games today, and I still enjoy watching the game, and I'll go to some games once if the weather ever warms up around here. I'll go out to the ballpark. But I watch a guy like Bryce Harper, and I just say, you know, kid, you need to enjoy this game. You need to learn how to enjoy it, because you even just, you know, he's struggling right now, but he doesn't have any fun when he's playing the game. You know, Ken Griffey Jr. had fun. Paul Molitor had fun. Robin Yount had fun. Kent Herbeck had fun. Those guys, you know, they were getting paid to play a man's game. Kirby Puckett, they had fun. They enjoyed it. It wasn't all about statistics and hits and on base percentage and all some of that, you know, some of that hoopla that just gets so out of whack.
Tim, hey, thank you very much. It was really fun.
Always a pleasure to be on with you guys. Thanks again.
Okay, it's Tim Cheetah back with more after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back quickly. We're going to keep this one on the cul-de-sac. We're going to go to my neighbor here next, Roy Smalley. Twins have an all-star team of analysts, and Roy really has got a deep understanding of the game. Before we get into some of that, Roy, just your early impressions of the major league leading Minnesota Twins.
Well, they've been fun to watch, haven't they? It looks like the offense is for real. They can really swing the bats, and that's not only fun to watch, but it's a great source of pride on a team and a great source of confidence. When you know you can hit, you're never out of a ball game, and you feel like when you take the field in the first inning that you're going to get your pitcher some runs. And the second part of that is they can catch the ball too, and for the most part. So as a unit, they look at, we can score some runs and we can prevent the other team from scoring on defense. So that's a pretty good feeling.
Right. You played in New York. Do guys, and by the way, thank you. You made the mistake going to the same restaurant I was at last night. And the next thing you know, I had you signed up for the show. So I'll teach you, but it's good. Great to see you last night. You're well dressed, even when you're casual, buddy.
That restaurant's off the list now.
But you know, when you do players think, okay, I'm in Yankee Stadium, ball jumps out of here, I'm taking a shot. Do you ever change your approach that way based on a stadium as to how you're going to go about your once you get in the box?
You do when the stadium is that dramatic. I think Yankee Stadium and Fenway are the, you know, two best examples of things that you can have in mind when you go in there. But it's especially true for the home team. I know when I played for the Yankees, you know, all that depends on the pitcher and how you think even as a visiting player, how you think the pitcher is going to pitch you. But, you know, other things being like that being equal or conducive to changing. You'd look for that that right field porch in the Yankee Stadium, especially as a home team player. When I played there for almost 3 years, I tended to be up on the plate a little bit more, looking for something from the middle of the plate to the inside corner where I could try to pull the ball.
You think Buxton can keep up what he started?
Well, that's a great question, Sid. I hope so. The approach looks a lot more solid this year than in years past. We've seen him look that way in streaks in the past. So I think it's too early to tell. There are still some things that he does in terms of not recognizing slider early and, you know, swinging it at balls, you know, out of the strike zone, down and away, still chasing some high fastballs, you know, little things like that that get him in trouble. But for the most part, it looks pretty solid. And I think he's in a good spot with the way this lineup can hit. I think Rocco Baldelli is just going to leave him in the ninth spot so that even, you know, at least subconsciously, if not overtly, he doesn't think that he has to be the star yet. He can just contribute as best he can and find his way as a hitter in a big league. So I think it's positive so far.
Roy, I may have the inning wrong, but it was in the Houston game at home, and I think four consecutive Twins hitters, might have been the sixth inning, came up and absolutely just mashed the first pitch. Does that come from the batting coach? The players talk about it? Because it was pretty clear. They were up there, and they said, if this is anywhere near, I'm going after it. And it was, from a fan's point of view, it was astonishing and fun.
Well, Dave, I really think that it's a concerted effort on the part of the lineup, the hitters, and the hitting coach. James Rousen's terrific, I think, and I've talked with him extensively about various things. I could never figure out why there was this big the misconception that you try go up and try to work counts, right, and make the pitcher throw a lot of pitches, take a lot of pitches, and I think that really holds a hitter back, because you can take the pitch you want to get 3-1. You work so hard to get to 3-1, so you get that fastball down the middle. I mean, you might get that on the first pitch. So you can take that for strike one and never see it, never get to 3-1 again. And so what James Rousen, I'm a big proponent of being aggressive early, but doing it the right way, which means look for the ball that's your pitch to hit right from the get-go. And if it's there, smoke it. If it's not there, that doesn't mean just a ball. If it's on the corner, if it's a pitch that, where you don't barrel it up as well, take that one and live to see some other pitches. And the way the Twins hitters with this lineup have worked the count is just exactly that way. They go up ready to hit the one they want to hit. If it's there, they attack it. If it's not, then you see a little bit longer at bats. And that's James Rousen's theory as well. And I think they're doing it exceedingly well so far. I think it's, their home runs are way up, which we expected might be the case. The strikeouts are way down, which we didn't expect to be the case. You say, well, you know, how in the world can that be? And I think you put it directly on that approach that I just talked about.
Roy, well, always a pleasure to visit with you. And for being on the show, we'll get you a murder certificate, the best steakhouse in town. Thank you.
Dave, you can just throw it in his mailbox.
Yeah, I'll bring it home with me, Roy. But we want to make sure that Mike's not there whatever night you choose to use that murder certificate.
Just don't ask me to meet you somewhere with it.
Roy, always a pleasure. That was
Thanks,
a
Roy.
Great analysis. All right, we'll be back with more right after the Sports Huddle. Sit, Dave and Mike. And now, if you want to call us in the last 3 minutes here, I'm sorry we went a little long, but it's fun talking to Cheetah and Smalley, that terrific guest. 651-989-9226 if you want to call us quickly on that. Interesting stuff that what Roy had to say about Rousen, that we had the Rousen interview just a little bit earlier there. There is a change, and when the hitting's up, the home runs are up, the strikes are outs are down, you know what? That's so much more fun for the players in the field and the fans in the stands.
And you know, I saw a statistic on ESPN the other night that AAA is now using Major League Baseball, and it's up like 40%.
It was more than that. It was almost double.
Yeah, it was almost double. Yeah.
The number of home runs. They switched to the Major League Baseballs at AAA, and the number of home runs is skyrocketing.
Yeah, the tight lacing, I guess. Yeah,
Jim Cott talked about that when he was a guest a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know, Dave and Sid, you can comment on this, but I can't remember a period of time since I've been around baseball that I've seen so many changes in 5 years between the shift, power hitters, bullpen starts. Batting orders not meaning as much. Has baseball ever gone through as much revolution as they have? You know, instant replay being introduced, all that stuff in the last 10 years.
No, it's amazing, Mike, and you named most of them. I'm sure there are more out there. But, for a game that was always referred to as stodgy, they have probably made more accommodations to bring it up to date and to make it more appealing to the fan, cutting down the amount of time between innings, between pitches. I think they're doing a lot of things going in the right direction. But, you know, the weather has been so miserable. I have to believe the Twins at some point will be the beneficiary. He said, I think the fans are going to come back. But this weather has been so terrible up to this point, the home for home games.
Yeah, the worst attendance in baseball, no doubt.
And the best team right now.
Nobody coming to games, even when the weather is a little good, they're not coming.
Well, part of it, there's been so little notice. Even when the weather was good, the forecast was lousy. All right, listen, we get one caller in here. Donnie, you did what we asked. You called, so go ahead. Donnie in South St. Paul.
Yeah, hey, Roy Smalley, what a guy. You know, he did the Special Olympics here. And,
he sure did, yep.
In 81, they had a baseball strike, I think, occurred. And we had a local hypnotist named Harvey Mizell. He was going all over the country, hypnotizing guys. He set up a clinic with all the players on strike at Denning Field. So after the after this thing, Roy Smalley's out there with one of the world's worst high school shortstops you've ever seen, and Roy's out there for like 45 minutes, hour, work with his kid. I mean, he's such a terrific asset. You know?
Donnie, we're out of time. Were you the shortstop?
I could have been, but it could have been
Sid too.
Hey, we appreciate the call. I'd love to have you go on sooner, but we are out of time. I want to thank our guest, Adrian Heath. We don't get that much chance to talk soccer. We did that. Ethan Casson, obviously, will have their hire on next week. Mike Zimmer, Randy Sampson talking about that odd finish at the Kentucky Derby yesterday. Richard Pitino talking about how recruiting has changed so different. Danielle Robinson, she's probably going to be a star on the Lynx team this year. She's been named captain. Wes Johnson, the Twins' new pitching coach, James Rawson, the new hitting coach. Hollis Kavner, always fun to talk to Hollis, and then Roy Smalley and Tim Cheetah. What a nice way to wrap things up. Thank you for your text messages, your one phone call. We will attempt to get back here next week and do it all over again. My goodness, do we still have another minute to go? We got another minute to go. Okay, we're on a funny clock. Remember, Twins game this afternoon is later. The Twins game is at 3:05, yeah, I believe, first pitch.
And we were talking about that. We didn't really get a chance to talk about that much, but you talk about changes in the game. Well, how about this? Now they recognize that between social media and weather radars, they can change a game on the fly.
We have no recollection.
You ever remember this?
No recollection of a game ever being changed, moved back the night before
ahead of time.
Of their confidence in the weather. So we will do this again next week. It's always fun to get this kind of lineup of guests. You are listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.